Iris, thank you so much for having me.
Excuse me, I'm being told by my sound engineer, Steve, that there is a clinking sound coming from your end. Does your shirt have buttons?
Yes.
I'm so sorry. We are going to have to ask you to remove the shirt altogether.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
David Bowe's in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. Welcome to The Big Show. This is the time when we run through the biggest stories happening locally, nationally, internationally, and just in the world of the bizarre. It's The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Big local.
After less than a year in charge in Renton, the Boeing vice president running the assembly plant and the manager of the 737 MAX program is calling it quits. Eric Lindblad said he was brought in to fix the manufacturing and supply chain. Then a couple of months later, he's stuck dealing with the massive problems with the 737 that led to the two crashes and obviously multiple deaths, 346 people. And that's all within months of the job. So think about that next time you're stuck in a position that you don't want at work and you've got some work that you didn't want to do. Think about this poor guy. He shows up at Boeing. He's got this job. It was kind of a dream. He's back in Renton where he apparently had his roots. And he thought, no, this is a dream job. Next thing you know, you're stuck overseeing a program that is continuing to make the kind of headlines that no company wants. And we just dealt with additional headlines today with hundreds of flights canceled and staying canceled over the course of the next few months. So he says it's not being forced out, that he just had expressed a desire to retire last year, and now he's looking forward to a transition plan. You know, look, when I first heard about the resignation yesterday, I was unfamiliar with Boeing politics. I didn't know that he was new to the job. But I'll tell you, I don't envy anybody working on that project right now, just because it's been such a painful thing. And I take no relish in saying it either, because I'm always rooting for Boeing. I want Boeing to be solid. I want Boeing to be happy. And then instead we have nothing but struggle there, nothing but problems. You want Boeing to be successful. He says he's bowing out, letting somebody else take control. Maybe that'll give some confidence and we can stem the tide, so to speak, at a future time.
The Big Lead, top national.
Not so lucky is the Trump Labor Secretary, Alex Acosta. He's on his way out after pressure continued to build from the Jeffrey Epstein sex traffic case. Remember, he was the lead prosecutor in the area when the big deal was made for Epstein to avoid federal charges the last time around. He was required to register as a sex offender, Epstein was, and ended up serving a custodial sentence of 13 months in jail, but was allowed out during the day on work release, which must be handy if you're a billionaire with high-powered friends. Acosta said that the work release wasn't at all what he bargained for. I just don't understand how that's possible. If you're the head prosecuting attorney and the guy's allowed out on work release, then you're pointing to it saying that was not what we bargained for. Well, why wouldn't you be back in court saying that's not what we bargained for, that's wrong? I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand how that works, but I was calling some Bolshevik on that because it seemed to me that this whole deal was light. Although I will say this, I'll add this. I've known of cases here locally where, you know, I mean, one of the most haunting was a case out in the Bellingham area where a police officer told me about a case where a guy was luring kids to his house with candies and had molested multiple kids and then ended up with like a 6-month sentence. I think three months had already been served and he was going in for quote unquote treatment. And the parents were trying to figure out how that's possible with their, you know, their kindergarten students having been violated and wondering where is that justice? So, you know, for a lot of people pointing the finger at Acosta here, you wonder, well, it's happening all the time in other places. Might not be a billionaire, but it's happening to other people. And why is that occurring? So I don't know what the evidence was, what the problems with the evidence were with Acosta. I'd like to hear from more prosecutor experience on there, not the ones that are just hardcore going to say whatever their political side wants them to say on the score. But, you know, was the evidence so light that they had to bail? Was it going to be too problematic to take on? Keep in mind, you know, unlike some of these other people, guy with $1 billion is going to be able to spend a lot of money. He's already, side's already offered, what was it, I think $77 million for bail, for a bail deal this time around. I don't think he's got it yet, but he's willing to throw a lot of money out, and for good reason, his freedom depends on it. But, you know, and look, the fact that he took a deal is indicative, too, that, you know, he's a registered sex offender now, so... You know, one would think that even with $1 billion, that would be a badge of great shame that you wouldn't want. But looking at a smarmy face, I tend to think he feels like he just got, you know, he won the lottery in some way. This time around, I don't think he's going to be that lucky. So, you know, let's and it looks like they're still seeking witnesses in the case. And I hope they come forward. But Labor Secretary Alex Acosta is out. He says he couldn't remain in the job because he'd be too much of a distraction for Trump. I think that's obviously true, and it's going to be a challenge. You heard at the top of the news hour, Congressman Lewis speaking about how he should never have been there to begin with, well, and concerns about how he handled the case. You know, again, I'd point, too, to the Senate, because the hypocrisy here is just amazing. Do you remember Ted Kennedy? You know, he literally left a girl to drown under a bridge back in the day, and yet, you know, he was the lion of the Senate. So it constantly amazes me what people in the higher circles of politics and entertainment can get away with. And then there's these shifting values of, you know, I can still work with this person. I can't work with this person. And people, you would think that, you know, the sex offense would be a big line in the sand. But even that apparently is malleable depending on who you are, which is creepy in its own way, at least to me.
The Big Lead, top national.
A UCLA professor, 64 years old, faces life in prison after shipping hardware used in U.S. missiles and fighter jets to China. Electrical engineer Yi Chi Si was convicted on 18 federal charges last week. He shipped hardware that's used to make this military equipment to a Chinese company. Obviously, China is a communist country where a lot of these companies are state-based companies, and even if they're not, they're ultimately controlled by the state. He faces a statutory maximum sentence of 219 years in federal prison. He's an electrical engineer. His charges include mail fraud, wire fraud, subscribing to a false tax return, making false statements to government investigators, and so forth. A date for his sentencing has not yet been set. But it looks like he was sending parts where the technology was had to get special approval because of its military application. And what happens in these cases is the adversarial government can then reverse engineer the equipment and figure it out for themselves, which is no doubt the objective of those who received the material, which is disturbing in itself.
The Big Lead, your tax dollars at work.
The Renton School District, they seem to be claiming they're broke, and the unions aren't happy about it. In this case, union leaders at the second budget hearing said they believe the presentation from the district contained misinformation about the budget deficit and that the district predicted in the near future, previously reported on in the Renton Reporter, which, by the way, has been doing some solid work of late. We'll get to that in a moment, too. The district presented during both public hearings that the general fund will see a budget shortfall in 2019 to 2020 for the first time in 5 years. The fund begins with a $25.3 million, then ends with $17.1. Then you flip through the pages and you find out that the union is saying, not so fast, the state's making up most of these dollars. McCleary funding from the state is providing $88 million to the Renton School District, as it has provided, from 2015 to 2023. And so they say that the shortfall in local is more than made up for the state, and they want to spend that money. And here's the great problem with the story. The district's claiming they're broke because they like creating this picture that they're in dire straits and they need more money. The union is saying they're not broke because they want to spend more of that money, grab the money and spend it now. And this has been the frustration with education dollars. It's tough to find out what the actual expenditures are. It's tough to find out how much each district gets per pupil because of the different funding mechanisms. It's a very complicated system, and the losers in the complicated systems end up being the taxpayers and the students because money generally will go toward other interests, and it's hard to keep track of, and it's hard to hold accountable, so that students end up losing. And so in this case, and this I've seen this across the state, where you've got various parties claiming to be broke, and yet the amount of money being poured in, I mean, people tend to get, I think, distracted by cases around the country where there hasn't been big investments in education. That's not the case in Washington State. There's been huge investments in education over the last few years, and yet we still get the stories, we still get the cries of how broke we are and how there's new sources of funding need to be had, and at some point, people need to take a look behind the curtain and see how much money is going into the students and ask themselves, why isn't that enough to do a good job for these kids and to get what they need? And that no student should be forced to go to a school that is self-identified as failing or self-identified as dangerous. And forget about self-identity. If a parent says it's dangerous, why are they stuck going there? You know, is there not a better way? Do you not see that better way with the choices that you have available to you and all kinds of other programs and all kinds of other aspects of life when it comes to various services that you're looking for?
The Big Lead, Big Local.
The story is disturbing. A Snohomish County family is suing the power company, seeking answers after a deadly fire. This is Helen Allen, widow of a veteran who was killed in a house fire, appearing on Cairo 7 television.
When he got up and noticed smoke, and I came into the family room and the smoke was coming up that wall.
She says her husband of nearly 70 years wanted to get the car out of the garage so they'd have a warm place to sit.
And I said, well, you better come on. We've got to get out of here. And, you know, it just came so fast then.
Helen got out the front door. Glenn never made it.
Well, that smoke was so dark and heavy.
Really sad because they were escaping the fire and then he was worried. I mean, he's a forward-thinking guy, you can tell. He's thinking, gosh, if we get outside, we're still going to be super cold. I better get the car out. He went back in to get the car and collapsed. Daughter Janelle McDicken and grandson Ben McDicken told Cairo 7 television.
Mom called on the cell phone and said that the house is on fire and Dad's inside the house.
She said that Grandpa's still inside and he needs to get out. So I ran to the front door. But the smoke was too thick.
Questions about why turned into questions about how this...
How could it happen? Who's responsible? The Snohomish County PUD is responsible, according to their attorney, Kevin Hastings.
Rather than replacing the entire wire, they just spliced a portion of it. We have some concerns that that might have been the source of the surge that went to the house that ultimately caused the fire. We all have a right to be safe in our house, and we depend on the utility companies to make sure that the wires are safe and that they aren't sending massive surges to our homes and causing a fire in the middle of the night while we're sleeping, which is what happened.
The claim here is that the Snohomish County PUD had replaced a wire before. The pole itself was leaning and pulling the power line connected to the house. Instead of replacing the entire wire, they've spliced it. And now that's been identified as where the, not that splice itself, but that area has been identified as the place where the surge came from. And so the big question is, why did it get the power surge that started the fire and what happened? It's a very sad story. The widow is, of course, distraught.
It's crazy. Like it's about a year that you'd still dream. It's hard to get over.
And yeah, I think, you know, I've suffered death in my own family of late and I've spoken with others where the memories are still raw. I just don't think you ever get over something like that. I think it's so earth-shattering and earth-changing that when you lose someone you love, you might learn to carry it better, but it's always a heavy burden. You just, it's like any other thing, you know, you gain kind of the mental and emotional muscles to carry it. But it never goes away. It's always there with you. It's always painful because there's nobody like that person, and you're always going to, the world itself is going to change for you in every way that matters once you lose someone that you care about. So they're seeking answers and seeking to find out the why, and it's worthwhile because other people, you know, there's other people that are going to face similar problems. If the PUD has a responsibility there, it's important that they figure out what that is, whether it is that. And if so, change their practices accordingly.
The Big Lead, Big Local.
A teen who police were searching for after a fatal shooting in Federal Way turned himself in just after midnight on July 2nd. Federal Way police were dispatched to a shooting in the Maplewood apartment complex. Police found a 14-year-old boy had been killed from an apparent gunshot wound inside the apartment. Now, there's a GoFundMe page organized by a family friend to raise money to cover the boy's funeral expenses. As they point out, he was only 14, so nobody's expecting to hold a funeral. And the expenses are mighty. And, you know, you can imagine, it is tough to plan for anyone's funeral, whether, you know, they're older or 14 is just unimaginable here. But apparently, the cause of death, the gunshot wound to the head, may have resulted from the juvenile's mishandling of a firearm. Federal Way police are still investigating the incident to determine whether or not it was accidental. It occurred inside the apartment where the victim lived with his family. The family was at home at the time of the shooting. Each individual residing at the apartment said they didn't own a gun and they didn't bring a firearm to the residence, so they think that someone brought the firearm into the apartment from outside. The young man who turned himself in made no statement about the firearm and hasn't yet turned it over. That, to me, is a big problem for this young fella. If you're claiming it's a total accident and claiming that, that it was a big mistake, and you're going to turn yourself in, and you need to be able to cooperate. And at some point, I think things will get tougher for this young man. You know, he's a juvenile, but things will get more uncomfortable for him, because if you're going to turn yourself in and seek the mercy that comes with that kind of thing, and you're claiming it's an accident, the fact that you're withholding the firearm, it doesn't look good for you. It doesn't look good for your side. There's been, you know, if the police want to get to the truth, they're going to need that weapon. And if somebody else is hiding it, you have to ask yourself, why? And I can think of some answers that may likely be the case and may likely lead to additional problems for a number of people around that case. Very sad and a waste.
The Big Lead, Bizarro World.
There's a town in Germany, the community of Schwanfeld in Germany, is having a bit of a problem. Not because there's a delicious ice cream named after them, Schwanz, but because they can't find a mayor. The mayor of the town is gone. Now they need a new one because, look, at the end of the legislature, the mayor would be 70 years old. He says, I'm out. I'm going to do something else. And they can't find one. Nobody was willing to run. So they did what they're legally required to do. They put an ad in the newspaper. And still nobody has stepped forward. And they have, I didn't even know this was a thing, but apparently in Germany, leave it to the Germans, super organized, multiple steps for what you have to do if nobody's willing to be a mayor of your town. And they have various processes until ultimately they'd have an election where people would write in a candidate, and then you might end up being the mayor if you live in the town. And then if you refuse it, all kinds of hell breaks loose. So, you know, let's just hope that the town of Schwanfeld, somebody steps up and answers that ad. I wonder if you could from outside, you know, like, you know, you've said you wanted to visit Germany. You could apply for the job of mayor, go there and, you know, maybe get a free place to stay.
I think you'd probably have to be a German citizen or
speak
the language.
Well, that's what I was asking, you know.
I feel like if that
happened, I didn't know they were being racist in it, you know.
I feel like if that happened here, enough people would write Dory's name in.
Oh, we should write it in for that right now. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. I just saw President Trump on TV defending Nancy Pelosi, saying that she's not a racist. Let me tell you something. She is not a racist. You know, it's a disgrace how AOC is treating Nancy Pelosi. It's a disgrace. That is probably the opposite of what Nancy Pelosi wanted, having President Donald Trump gallantly come to her rescue. But what gold is that? Because you just know AOC is going to be playing that everywhere. That'll be Twitter gold. So people will just have all kinds of a field day with President Trump defending Nancy Pelosi in the midst of a controversy about Paul Ryan's latest book. I'm sure we'll play for the audio for you later here on 97.3 Cairo FM. But right now we're going to deal with the best audio of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
You know, Bernie Sanders has been a bit tiresome this time around. He seemed so fresh and exciting last time. Even though, yeah, he's been a longtime socialist, and even though he's been around the block several times in the political world, when he came on nationally, he seemed like a breath of fresh air compared to Hillary Clinton, who seemed like she was running the entitled I'm just waiting to be crowned president kind of campaign. And Sanders came along and said, no, I want something different. I want it. He had a Ross Perot kind of cantankerous fun to him. And then he let it all slip away with saying nobody cares about your damn emails, thus surrendering the one issue that he could have hammered Hillary Clinton with. And perhaps, according to some polls, it would have had him taking the presidency away from President Trump. And he would have been the first open socialist president of the United States. So we dodged a bullet on that one. This time around, he hasn't had that air of freshness yet. There's too many others that are jumping into the fray. It's been hard to distinguish him from the 21 others. But recently in an interview with Now This Is News, in an interview that he gave with them, he showed just a glimpse of that former charisma.
Number three.
They think I'm grumpy all of the time, and I'm only grumpy most of the time. There are sometimes I'm not grumpy. Now is not one of those times.
So that was it's supposed to distinguish him. What it is that makes him a common misconception about him is that he's always grumpy. He says he's just, you know, grumpy some of the time or most of the time, not all of the time, which, you know, in this case, I believe him. Boys, you know, will be boys. And oftentimes we think of young people as the kind of folks that are going to go and, you know, they're going to take whatever they want. You know, you're fearing. What is it you're trying to say? What you've got?
Awesome audio number two.
We don't say that yet until how does this work? Am I not supposed to just introduce it first and then you say number two?
Yes, you're supposed to set the clip up.
Set the clip up.
And then you point
then
to
you
me.
Then you play number two.
You point to me silently so the audience thinks
right.
it's
totally behind the scenes.
And flawless. then you play the audio.
Oh, good. I just wanted to make sure. I thought I had it right.
Yeah.
And then I
was zoning out. What was Jennings saying?
No, I'm wrong.
I was supposed to play number two.
A peace sign.
Yeah.
She
was doing her best Nicole Thompson imitation, which for those of you who don't know, she does this to me every time I do the show. And Nicole Jennings is also a Nicole. So
yes.
It's the same kind of thing. They give these kind of weird hand signals to me that since we're not agreed to ahead of time, I feel like, you know, I'm witnessing someone who's got an alien form of sign language and they're just waving around and I'm wondering, what is this about? What have I done that's wrong?
Right.
And
this time, nothing.
This time I was actually in the right. Which, by the way, with Nicole Thompson, that frequently happens as well.
Uh-huh.
Although, you know, I mean, that's not how it ends up because I, you know, I'm the lowly fill-in, so I get blamed. But anyway, boys will be boys here. And what we know is that occasionally, you know, teenagers are known for ill behavior, vandalism, a little bit of petty theft, problem areas. So, you know, if you got a bunch of teens wandering about your neighborhood or little punk kids wandering about your neighborhood, you're wondering, are they going to steal something out of my garage? What's going on here? You know, you got to get your fiercest old man voice on there and tell them to get out of your lawn. But it might not be all that bad. Maybe the next generation has some hope, at least this story of a couple of youngsters out of Arlington should give you hope for the next generation.
Number two.
Finders keepers isn't a phrase 11-year-old Case Baker and 12-year-old David Gray are familiar with.
My mom always tells me to not steal anything.
Walking in this parking lot.
Yeah, we found it, like, right here.
Stumbling upon a wallet a lot of kids would probably struggle returning.
Oh, my God, look at all that money.
Keeping it, well, that was never an option.
It wasn't anyone's except for his.
So that's the gas station right there that the boys found the wallet at. They decided that Case would stay there just in case Scott came back. David, though, started walking. He took off down the main drag here in Arlington about a block. And this is where he ended up, the Arlington Police Department.
A driver's license and insurance cards and credit cards and picture of my mother and who's passed away. And my debit card is in here. And
Scott Ames had more cash than what most people carry around.
I normally don't carry $495. And those boys, when they turned it in, it still had $495 in it. And I felt like a little kid. I had a little, oh, you're kidding me. We have your wallet here at Arlington Police Station.
And the timing for Scott was even more important than anything in the wallet.
And this just came at a moment in my life where random act of kindness like that really touched me.
Prior to meeting with us, Scott was at divorce court, his marriage ending. His house is up for sale.
It was just really refreshing that a stranger, particularly at this moment, in my life did something like that. And a 12-year-old.
We did the right thing to help someone that was going through a hard time.
Yeah, I love these kids. And they were raised right. While it didn't belong to them, they knew it didn't belong to them. So there's much less temptation to take the money because it didn't belong to them. So they wait, they give it. He ended up giving $100 to each kid, or not $100 to the kids for them to split and share in the reward, which he didn't have to do and he had no obligation to do. By the way, at 10, 11 years old, I feel like reward inflation has occurred. I feel like $20 a piece would have been enough. Am I wrong there? I mean, maybe it's like, yeah, you know, like the.
No, you're not wrong.
I feel like the grandma in Christmas Vacation offers a quarter to remove the, right. You know, the bunion on her foot, you know.
The tooth fairy used to bring me like 50 cents or a dollar, and I was grateful. So yeah, I'm with you.
I got a quarter, and now kids are like, what? Tooth fairy's getting cheap. Where's my 50? Where's my Ben Franklin?
That's too much.
Yeah, I want a Ben Franklin. It just seems like. But anyway, he was super grateful. He's been through a lot. You can hear his voice choking up, and I'm glad that he had something positive happen to him. And finally, we've got, you know, some people, you know, they're big in stature but small on the inside. But apparently the reverse can be true as well. There is a story coming out of a 45-year-old divorced childless cleaning company owner from Long Island who has made international news because of a rant that he gave in the middle of a bagel shop.
Number one.
Why is it okay for women to say, you're 5 feet on dating sites? You should be dead. That's okay?
Who said that to you here? Nobody.
Women in general have said it on dating sites. You think I'm making that shit up? Yeah. Everywhere I go, I get the same smirk with the biting lip. Shut your mouth. You're not God or my father or my boss. Dude, you want to step outside? You want to step outside? Huh? I'm not scared.
Al. Enough.
You shut up, too.
Shut the f*** up.
Go ahead and attack me, big.
Oh, my God.
Shut the
f***
up. You don't talk to me.
I recorded the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Oh, and hit a guy three times my side. That's okay?
Get your food and leave.
What happened? What? I'm sorry.
Get your food and leave.
You know what?
So all women, apparently, according to this guy, all women have problems. I won't get into the details that in the way he described those problems, but is it not amazing that this guy's single?
He
just can't find
who
someone
is he
to
yelling
love.
At? Just all the women. In
Every
the place?
Woman in the bagel place,
really?
Because she
the
couldn't
two
understand
women serving
his
bagels.
Yeah. She couldn't hear his order, and she couldn't hear it, and then he just went livid. Complaining immediately about what had happened to him on dating sites.
Got it. So he was a customer there.
Yes.
Okay.
And the issue there, well, most people complaining at a bagel shop are bound to be customers, you know. But anyway.
Sounds like there's a lot of holes in this story.
Ooh.
Bagels.
Good one. Yes, I
Jennings
got it.
Jennings was staring off into the distance like, what?
She's like, I don't get it.
Dave got it, though.
Yeah. It was nothing but gold there.
Thanks.
He said he's the modern day Martin Luther King.
Yeah, right.
For small people.
Sounds just like him. Yeah.
Sounded a lot like the I Have a Dream speech, but, you know, I don't think he's quite inspired people yet. Oh, awesome audio brought to you by Brown Bear Car Wash. David Bowes in for Dory Monson here on 97.3 Cairo FM. The end of the show, last segment of the Dory Monson program today. End of the week, and it leads us to...
today's sign that the end is near.
Police in Kansas City, Missouri were able to sniff out a wanted felon. Fellow who had warrants out for his arrest, a felony warrant out for his arrest for possession of a controlled substance. The individual had been hiding outside, away from law enforcement, and officers, in response, were able to sniff him out without the aid of a dog, thanks to the suspect's uncontrollable flatulence. He apparently just could not stop letting him rip, and that led police straight to his hiding spot. Apparently it wasn't hard to track him down. I don't envy the guys that had to search him, nor do I envy the officer who had to bring him in his police car back to the office, so to speak.
You had to crank a window.
Yeah, leave that window open.
Yeah, just don't eat something that doesn't agree with you before you commit some sort of crime.
Taco Bell is for after you've made your getaway, not before. Let that be a lesson to you criminals out there. Also, in Dixon, Illinois, a mom is now under arrest after trying to do a solid for her kids. Now, we know her two daughters are over the age of 8 and under the age of 16 because of the charges now filed against her. What happened was, mom went out, she got an inflatable pool from a friend of hers, but as many of you probably discovered during some of our hot temperatures, you can't find the pump. How are you supposed to blow it up? You know, you could try to blow it up with your mouth, but then you're going to get dizzy. It's going to take forever. Nobody wants to do that. And so she drove into town to get the pool pumped up for the kids so they could all sit there and enjoy it. And that's what she did. Problem was, once it was inflated, it wouldn't fit in the car anymore. So she put it on the roof of the car. So far, so good. Nothing illegal about that. But instead of securing the pool, the now inflated pool, with rope, she secured the pool by putting her two daughters in the pool on top of the car to weight it down.
Wow.
So that as she drove, it would stay there.
This was not tied down at all?
Not tied down. It's just on the roof of the car. At least from the looks of things, just sitting on top of the roof of the car with the kids inside.
And she was moving. She was driving.
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, I don't know how fast she was going. I mean, my guess is it was probably really slow. So, I mean, I hope she didn't go over 10.
Maybe this is the 2019 version of the old station wagon where you could sit in the back and your parents didn't care, no seatbelts. This is, you know, you put your kids on the roof of the car in an inflatable pool.
And the nanny state comes along and arrests her and charges her with endangering the two little girls that are on top of the, you know, this inflatable, super soft pool.
I call shenanigans. Shenanigans.
It's a sign of the end of the world right there. Nanny state coming over, telling parents what to do. Can't just ride in an unsecured pool.
No one has a good old-fashioned sense of summer fun anymore.
Yeah, she was going over a bridge, apparently.
Jeez,
you know, so,
come on.
I mean, maybe she was preparing the kids in case there was a problem with the bridge. And then finally, a Midgeville woman ordered a Mona cake, as in a Disney cake, and the Dairy Queen that she ordered it from thought she said marijuana. So for they got a donkey with a marijuana leaf on its keister instead.
Today is the hardest I have worked in a long, long time.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.